Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We read in the 11th verse, the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Now in our previous studies these past Sunday evenings, we've seen together that there is a clear order in the Lord's Prayer. And that order focuses upon God and His glory. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And very manifestly, our Lord Jesus Christ is saying to His disciples and saying to His church in all the ages, that the great, supreme, preeminent concern of the people of God on earth is for the glory of their Father in heaven. This is the church's supreme priority. And we must battle with all our might, as much as God gives us grace to do so, to ensure that we will never be deflected from this supreme priority. There are so many good things we need to be doing, so many important things that we ought to be doing, but there is one thing that we must always be doing, and that is seeking in all things to give glory and honor to our Father in heaven, God Himself. Is the great focus, the supreme priority of the church. That's the plumb line by which we gauge all other things. Will this bring glory to God? Will this hallow His name? Will this advance His kingdom? Will this see to the accomplishing of His revealed and holy will? Many things that come before the church are good, but within them there are things that can deflect us away, that can absorb us in ourselves. And the Lord is teaching us in this prayer that our great priority is to be God and His glory. And what we often forget when we think that and say that is that we ourselves can never be what God intended us to be unless our lives are properly focused on God and His glory. Man's chief end is to glorify God and thereby to enjoy Him forever. And too often we forget that the enjoyment and the fulfillment and the longing that we seek for in our own lives comes to us by the way, mediately, by not seeking after it, but by seeking God's glory in all things. We become, by the way as it were, all that God intended us to be. Your good and your blessedness is inextricably linked to giving the Lord God Almighty the first place in your life. As we'll see perhaps at some time in the end of the chapter, Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. This is what equips the church and fits the church and fits believers individually to be influences for Christ in the world. Think of it like this. God's glory is the sun around which our lives are to revolve and orbit. And when He is the center and sun, and we orbit and revolve around Him, then the light and the life of God penetrates our experience and fits us to be ambassadors for Christ in this world. Now in the Lord's Prayer, having set before us the great supreme priority for the church in this world, the Lord Jesus now turns to our needs. And remarkably, I think, and strikingly, he says, first of all, give us today our daily bread. I think if any of us had to prepare a prayer, as it were, like unto this, we would not have begun there. We would have started somewhere else when it came to our needs. We would have started, actually, with the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is that not our great need before God? It is. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ, graciously and wisely, and I think somewhat tenderly, begins as he focuses our minds and hearts upon our needs. He says, when you pray, say, give us today our daily bread. Now, I'm sure it's true to say that in our Western world, we've become so accustomed to affluence and luxury that this petition has lost something of its power in our lives. Give us today our daily bread. We've Sainsbury's and Tesco's. We've got rows upon rows of different kinds of bread. Our problem is, what kind of bread to buy? We don't know in this affluent age in which we live. We don't know, at least in the West, how profound this petition is, because affluence has a way of dulling our spiritual appetite. It has a profound way of desensitizing us to the great needs and necessities of life. That's why Solomon, or was it Agur in the Proverbs, would say, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you, or too little and despise you. Many of our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world know, in a way that we probably don't know, what a precious petition this is. And we need perhaps to learn afresh, through our affluence, what a profound petition this is. And so we reflect upon it this evening. First of all, we should notice this, that in asking our Father for daily bread, we're doing at least two things. In asking our Father, we're doing two things. First of all, we're confessing, obviously, that we are powerless in and of ourselves to feed ourselves. You see, this is no trivial prayer. It's actually a prayer that acknowledges our native dependence upon our God for everything, and that acknowledges our inability to meet our most basic needs and His alone ability to supply them. It is a prayer that testifies to our absolute unconditional dependence upon our God. Now, I'm sure to many in this world, as they read these words of Jesus Christ, the prayer must seem nonsense. Give us today our daily bread. I take care of all my needs. People will say, I don't need any God to give me my daily bread. But you see, that's simply part of the arrogance of those who willfully deny that they are creatures of the Most High. Because every breath that we breathe is because He grants it to us. In Him we live and move and have our being. We are not autonomous entities. We are dependent creatures. But our sin blinds us. It puts out our eyes. It desensitizes our minds and hearts. And we say, who is the Lord that I should acknowledge Him? If I need daily bread, I just need to go to Sainsbury's or Tesco. I don't need to ask, as some pauper would need to ask, give us today our daily bread. But you see, when it pleases God to open our eyes to see, when it pleases the Lord God to break into our sin-darkened minds, isn't this true? Isn't this true in your experience that that has happened to you? You begin to discover that you have nothing. That before God you are a pauper. You cannot breathe a breath but that God grant you it. You cannot take a step but that God grant you it. You cannot speak a word but that God grant you to do so. And every ability you have and every gift you possess is because He has sovereignly, graciously, in His good pleasure, been pleased to grant it to you. So you see, in praying this prayer, we are giving the Lord His rightful place as the sovereign Lord of the universe. We're saying, Lord, we are helpless. Oh, we can go to Sainsbury's tomorrow morning and stock up. But only because it pleases you to send the rain and to give the sunshine and to fertilize the crops and to enable us to go. We are acknowledging in this prayer that there is one who is sovereign Lord over all things. But I think secondly, in asking our Father for daily bread, we are confessing that everything we do, including our eating and drinking, is to be for the glory of God. Some people must listen to this petition. Give us today our daily bread. And it sounds so mundane. It sounds so earthly. It doesn't sound very elevated, does it? Remember those words of Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 10? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I wonder when you pray that prayer, as I'm sure you do, give us today our daily bread, do you relate it to God's glory? Because even the basic mundane necessities of life are to be engaged in for His glory. Whatsoever you do, says Paul, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You ever thought about that? In a sense, it is an elevated prayer. It is recognizing that every area of life is to be brought under the Lordship of God and is to be for His glory. And so when you butter your bread tomorrow morning or marmalade your peace, as we'd say in Glasgow, we need to think elevated thoughts. This is for the glory of God. God grants me this and gives me this, that I might serve Him in this life. But then secondly, in teaching us to pray, give us today our daily bread, our Lord is further impressing on us a number of other vital truths. First of all, that we are never to presume upon our Father's goodness. Rather, we are to come day by day by day to be reminded that we are dependent upon daily grace. Remember the manna that came miraculously from heaven as the people of God wandered in the wilderness? The manna was sufficient for the day. New manna for a new day. The manna wouldn't keep. It would putrefy. And so the Lord says, give us today our daily bread. And just as the manna that was given in the wilderness was good for that day, so God's grace is sufficient for the day it's given. It cannot be stored up like a treasury of merit to be used in times of need. We need day by day by day to come and confess our helpless dependence upon the Lord. You see, there is something in our fallen human hearts that would have us to presume and after a while to expect God to supply our every need. when we come day by day and say, Father, once again, I come as a helpless debtor, that you might supply my every need and my family's need and the needs of your people in this world, we are being reminded that we are debtors to mercy alone. It's a petition that reminds us day by day that even in the littlest area of life, we are helpless suppliants. You see, there is an Arminian lurking in all our hearts. But God would crush that Arminianizing tendency and to remind us every day, no, in you there dwells no good thing. You are helpless, dependent debtors. And perhaps secondly, in teaching us to pray, give us today our daily bread, our Lord is reminding us that we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Who of us knows if we have a tomorrow in this life? At the end of the sixth chapter, the Lord says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The Lord is not saying here, I think, that we are not to make wise provision for the future. I don't think he is saying that. But he is saying, learn to live your life day by day by day, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what another day might will bring. Live within the compass of the day, because it might please God not to grant us a tomorrow. But there's a third thing here that the Lord highlights in teaching us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And it's this, I think, that we are to be satisfied with having enough for each day. One translation has bread sufficient for the day. Remember Paul's words to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Content with whatever God is pleased to give us. And the emphasis here surely is upon necessities. Bread is the staple food of life. Give us today our daily bread, not our daily gâteau, our daily roast joint. Now it may well please the Lord, as he does, to give us more than bread. Who of us here tonight ekes out an existence like some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world? I wonder if any of us know. I certainly have never known what it is to be in want. Never a day in my life. It pleases the Lord to give us more than bread. It pleases him to give some an abundance beyond bread, but to use for his glory. Now, we're not to despise life's luxuries. This is the folly that some Christians fall into. We end up despising the good things that God gives. All good things, every good gift comes from above. He gives us good things richly to enjoy. But we are to use what he gives us as wise stewards, learning by his grace to be content with necessities, that if it please the Lord to take all our luxuries from us, we might be able to say with Paul, I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. The Lord is teaching us, is he not here, to be satisfied with having enough for each day. And yet at the same time, we are to be thankful for all that he pours into our lives, reminding ourselves that what do we have that we did not first receive? We can't boast. And we are therefore to use as wise stewards what it pleases the Lord to give us. Give us today our daily bread. Now this little petition has deep truths to impress upon us, and I want simply to highlight four of them with the remainder of our time this evening. The first is this, obviously, that all you and I have comes from our Father's kindly providence. We deserve nothing, not even the least of His mercies. And that is why a spirit, a deep spirit of humble thankfulness should mark all our lives. As we wake to a new day, it should be with a thankful heart that we have, by the goodness of God, a roof over our head, a bed to lie on, clothes to wear, food to eat. For we are dependent on His kindly providence for everything we have. And that note of deep-spirited thankfulness should be one that rises from our hearts every new breaking day. But secondly, I think we see here that no part of your life or mine is too mundane for God not to be interested in. Give us today our daily bread. You couldn't get more basic and more mundane. And surely our Lord is saying to us, there is nothing too trivial for your Father to care about. Nothing. Your Father cares about the most basic needs of your life. I wonder if sometimes we hesitate bringing basic little things. We almost think it's too demeaning to bring it to the Lord, the great and the awesome God. And we think, well, I can't bother Him about that. Jesus says, you can come to your Father who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, who created the cosmos by the word of His power, and you could say, Father, I don't have a crust. Because there is nothing too mundane, too trivial. There's nothing trivial in the child of God's life that our Father isn't deeply concerned about. If that's true for earthly fathers, don't you just love it when your children come to you with really the most silly of things? And later in life, they might even be embarrassed to think that they ever came to you about it. But you just love it. And why do you love it? Because they're your children. You love them. And everything about them is precious to you. But then thirdly, this petition is a further reminder to us that the Christian life is a bodily life. That our bodies matter. That the life of faith isn't lived in some kind of spiritual bubble. It's lived amidst the necessities of daily life. Now that's something that lies at the very heart of Reformation Christianity. The obliterating of this unbiblical, unholy distinction between the sacred and the secular, where the body was demeaned and the soul and the spirit and the ethereal was accentuated. That's profoundly unbiblical. Whatsoever you do, says Paul, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. And it seems to me our Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us here that our bodies matter. It matters to God that we've got food for our bodies. But I wonder if we're honest, if perhaps sometimes we think to ourselves, if only I didn't have to get my hands dirty, have to clean dishes, wash nappies, fix engines, fill in tax returns, my spiritual life would take off. If only I didn't have to get involved in the grind of daily necessity, my spiritual life would take off. If you think that, you're living in cloud cuckoo land. The church did that and retreated into monasteries and hid itself from the world. sure there are people who think, if only I could have a spiritual life free from the burdens and the problems and the necessities of this life. My friends, that's Platonism, not biblical Christianity. Because your body matters. The Lord Jesus Christ had a body. He now has a glorified body. And we will receive bodies like unto his glorious body. Our bodies matter. The sanctified life is not a disembodied life. Present your bodies, says Paul, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Present your members to Christ, that you might be instruments of righteousness. Sanctification is bodily. It is physical. It is earthly. Because all of that is spiritual, because that's our existence. We don't live disembodied lives in the glory of God's presence. We live bodily, eternal existences. Our bodies matter. God has set us in the midst of the dust of this earth to live sanctified lives. And that's why one of the great recovered truths at the Reformation was the recovered truth of the sanctity of all callings. There was the priestly calling, and then there was the rest. No. Every calling under heaven is a sanctified calling. And wherever God has set us, that's where we're to live the sanctified life, whether it's fixing engines, filling in tax returns, washing, cleaning nappies. But then fourthly, the gracious provision of our daily physical needs must never blind us, as the next petition will bring before us, to our pressing need of God's gracious provision for our undying souls. Give us today our daily bread. God cares for our bodies. But he sent his Son into the world that we might be redeemed and delivered from the power of sin and Satan, and be reconciled to God. Remember in chapter 4 when Christ is tempted in the wilderness, and for 40 days and 40 nights he's gone without food, and Satan comes and says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's why we read those verses in John chapter 6. You know the context. Perhaps the Lord has fed the multitude. He's walked on the water, and the crowds come, and they're looking for him to do another trick. What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who gives you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. If we have bread in abundance but have not Jesus Christ, we ultimately have nothing. But if we have but a crust with Jesus Christ, we ultimately have everything. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me will never go hungry. You see, if we cannot feed ourselves without the Lord's gracious provision, it is doubly sure that we cannot save ourselves apart from his gracious help. Because everything is of grace. He is the true bread from heaven. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. That's why we shall see next time, God willing, that our pressing need is to have our sins forgiven. and be reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. We may have all the good things that this world admires, but if we have not the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, my friends, you have nothing. And one day you will discover you have nothing, because Jesus Christ is the food that endures, as he said earlier in chapter 6, he is the food that endures to eternal life. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Our Lord is not saying, of course, that we're not to engage in meaningful employments. He's saying, using a figure of speech, make sure that the great pressing concern of your life is not to build your life on that which perishes, but on that which endures to eternal life, who is Christ himself. I would guess that none of us here will go to bed hungry tonight. I guess that none of us will wake in the morning wondering if there will be a slice of bread to eat. But how many of us will go to bed tonight hungry for the food that endures to eternal life, because we have not feasted our souls upon Christ. We have not come to him, the living bread, and availed ourselves of the food of God, the blessings of his love and of his grace. I've not often met really poor Christians, but once or twice I have. And it is a deeply humbling experience. They have nothing. The rags they stand up in, and maybe a few mouthfuls of rice. But I've seen their faces shine, because having nothing, they yet possess everything. Because they have fed upon the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. And so our Lord teaches us, give us today our daily bread. That's what we are. We're humble debtors. We cannot feed ourselves a crust, except it please the Lord our God to grant it to us. And he is a good father. He is the best of all fathers. But if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We come as humble sucklings. We come with empty hands. And we're acknowledging, Father, but for your sovereign kindness, I would starve physically and spiritually. Have you fed upon Christ? Have you come to him, the bread of life? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you together that you supply our every need and more. We thank you, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights. Forgive us, Lord, when we take your good gifts for granted. Help us, we pray, to remember that but for your kindness, we would have nothing and less than nothing. And above all, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to feed our undying souls and to reconcile us to yourself by his atoning sacrifice. Lord, be with us, and may we live out our days in humble thankfulness to you for your great grace to us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.